So we wrote and said that we were seceding from Australia.
When an Australian municipality, Idoreen and Vos Kandikar's historic property is a site for a new sewer line, the now royal couple says they had no other option than to declare independence.
So we decided that the only course available was to form a principality, that means seceding from the regulations which were imposed on us and which were undesirable.
The two formed a micronation, a small entity in a recognized country which asserts a claim of territory and governance. With that, the two went from fighting higher authority to, well, being the higher authority, or in their case, your royal highnesses. And that sewer line, well, at least part of it went somewhere else. Author William Pitt wrote a book on Australia's first secession some 40 years ago. He explains the draw of creating a country.
The benefits to becoming a micronation are that you are independent, and therefore you are not any longer under the rules and laws of the country.
That's just what the Prince of Double Deca wants.
We could have our own currency. We could have our own stamps, postage stamps. We would have our own passport. We could have our own citizens.
But the validity of those official items, as well as the claims to sovereignty, is cause for dispute. The director of the Sydney Center for International Law, Ben Saul, says micronations are illegal, and Australia is a hotbed for them in part due to outdated and untested British and local laws.
These cases are so unusual and so eccentric in many ways. I mean, these are people making quite odd claims to be separate from a country which they've always been a part of and which they have no legal right in international law to become separate from.
Eccentricity is something which is present in everyone. We are all mad. To some extent.
Just several hours' drive outside of Sydney, we've entered what's known as a micronation. That tree line over there marks the border with Australia. We're here in the Empire of Atlantium.
We called it Atlantium. We started making stamps. We very shortly thereafter designed our flag. We gave ourselves titles, and we set about writing a constitution for what we considered to be the model for a future world state.
Atlantium's Imperial Botanical Gardens consists of one bush, Capitol Hill is just a hill, and Government House is a small modular trailer featuring bunk beds and a small kitchen area with two hot plates. All this nestled on a 76-hectare empire which is off both the power and water grids. Imperial Majesty George II says the internet was essential in allowing Atlantium to gain dual citizens in over 100 countries.
The day that we launched the Atlantium website, we had 12 citizens. We're now in a position where we have in excess of 1,300 citizens, and we're growing at a rate of 1 to 2 new applicants per day.
In April, for the first time, a group of representatives from around 10 micronations held a conference at a university in Sydney, where they discussed ways to push for recognition. All silliness and costumes aside, Emperor Cruikshank says his administration has managed to hold meetings with heads of state from Brazil, India, and Venezuela.
We may well be a somewhat ephemeral entity, but if those people are prepared to sit down with their representatives and actually give them the time of day, then we have actually achieved something in the real world.
What remains to be seen is whether these smallest of countries may one day become the source of either real-world strife or inspiration. Derek Henkel, VOA News, somewhere between Atlantium and Sydney.
Most of you, but,